Morning. It's indeed a blessing and a privilege to be with all of you this morning, and appreciate the prayers on my behalf, and appreciate the opportunity that I have to be able to speak to you and share some things that I've been studying. This morning we'll be continuing our study in the Sermon on the Mount. And just as a recap, first off, we've talked about salt and light, and how we're supposed to be useful in the kingdom like salt that has not lost its savor, its saltiness. And that salt that would lose its saltiness is worthless and needs to be tossed out and trampled over. But we should be useful and shining light in the kingdom, not a lamp under a bushel, but a light on a hill, a city on a hill, like a city on a hill. And do like Brother Darrell prayed for, be ready to share the hope that is within us. We talked about, are we too big? From Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, how no man can serve two masters. We can't have it our way. We can't have it our way. We have to sacrifice ourselves, sacrifice things of our lives so that we have room for things of the kingdom. We talked about overcoming worry and trusting in the provisions of God from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Trusting in the promises and the provisions of God, knowing that He is faithful and will take care of those things that we need. We've talked about how Jesus forgives us and we should be forgiving. From Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, that we need to be a forgiving people, realizing the guilt and the things that we've done and the sin that we've committed and the grace that's been afforded us, the mercy that we've been given, we need to share that mercy with others. We've talked about some teachings of Jesus where he came and said, I didn't come to change the law, I came to fulfill it. In a sermon that I called, You Have Heard It Said, from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 48. Where it warns us that people can get it wrong sometimes. And that we make mistakes in life. And we teach things sometimes it's not true. But we need to be on guard because there are false teachers in the world. And we need to stand fast on the truth of God's word. This morning, we're going to begin from Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse number 1. Let me turn this on. The Golden Rule. The Sermon on the Mount. Starting in verse number 1. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, we'll give him a serpent. Or if he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So today we're going to be focusing mainly on verse number 12, which most people have entitled the Golden Rule. And I, through some study, have found out that there was a certain Roman emperor that had a golden wall that this teaching of Jesus was actually engraved on. And that's why it was called the Golden Rule. I thought that was pretty interesting. But nonetheless, this is a teaching of Jesus that should be very, very important to us. And teaching us how that we should be a people that treats everyone else a certain way. And just as we did in our lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, when I went back and took a look a bit, our last lesson, we took a step back and we looked at things as in a whole, in context. This is what I want to do this morning also. And we're going to start by looking at verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is probably one of the most popular teachings that Jesus ever taught. Maybe second to the Ten Commandments. Maybe second to only the Ten Commandments is this probably the most popular saying that people would find in the Bible. And there are many variations to this that are out in the world today. And there are similar commandments that are teachings that we see from that derive from this. But Jesus, the teaching that he uses here, the terms that he uses, the way that he words this, it takes on a completely higher, different level of difficulty, doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, a lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He was testing him. He was trying to trick him. He was trying to see what he would say and test him. And Jesus replies, Jesus says unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is another way of saying that, isn't it? Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's very important for us to realize that it is a teaching that Jesus, our Lord, has given us that we need to have love and compassion for one another. Now, I mentioned some of the other variations of this particular teaching, and one of those is, do unto others as they do unto you. Now, this variation is okay, but it's very limited. It's very limited in the way that that it's worded here, because you wouldn't have to be kind to anyone unless they were kind to you. You wouldn't have to help anyone unless they were helpful to you. You wouldn't have to do anything for anyone ever unless someone did something for you. And so this is not an accurate representation of what Jesus is trying to say. Secondly, if you read it this way, it gives us support for revenge, doesn't it? If someone is hurtful to me, guess what? I can be hurtful to them. If someone wrongs me, I can wrong them back. And that's not anything in the teaching what Jesus teaches us here in the Sermon on the Mount. Secondly, we see one that says, do not do to others what you don't want done to you. Now, all of these are to keep people from doing derogatory things to one another. But this is still, again, not what Jesus says. It's good, but it's also limited. So if I don't want people to steal from me, I don't steal from somebody else. If I don't want someone to hurt my family, I don't go hurt theirs. If And so I don't, again, don't have to take initiative in doing things for others unless they have done those things for me. What about if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all? How many have heard that one? I have. It was said to me lots of times when I was hateful to people. And my parents knew it. Why don't you just keep your mouth shut? But again, just keeping my mouth shut and doing nothing is not, does not support the statement that Jesus makes in the teaching that we call the Golden Rule. How about if you can't take it, don't dish it out. I've been told that too. I'm pestering someone and pestering and pestering and nagging at them and being, just being me, I guess. But then they turn around and say something derogatory to me, and you know what? I get my feelings hurt. This does not support the teaching of Jesus. Let's look at James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It says, if you see somebody that's in need and they need some clothes or they need some shelter or they need some food or they need something, they're thirsty and they need something to drink or whatever it might be that their need is, and you see it and you say, you know what, I see your situation here and I really hope somebody comes and helps you, but, that's not for me. So you didn't give me any clothes, and you didn't give me any food, and what have you done for me? That's not the teaching of Jesus, is it? He says, if you do those things, what profit is there? If you know about these things that people need, you do nothing, what good does it do? Does nothing. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Loving your neighbor is more than just refraining from killing someone. It's more than refraining just from stealing from them or lying to them or wanting them to suffer or things of that nature. Not wanting them to suffer or things of that nature. I'm sorry, put that wrong. It involves caring for them. Looking out for them. Looking after their best interests. Forgiving them. Having mercy and compassion on them. Being tender-hearted towards them. Forgiving them when they've wronged you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4, four sorry, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's what we're called to do, isn't it? To take the initiative, to take that first step and have love and compassion and do things of kindness, out of kindness and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, but not only them, but others as well. The second thing we're going to look at that we've read already is Matthew chapter 7, the next two verses, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What is Jesus saying here? He says, you know what? If you do what I'm teaching you, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, and you're going to get your feelings hurt, and your heart is going to hurt sometimes. You're going to meet people that's going to have these needs, and you're going to want to help them, and you know what? They're struggling, and you're going to have compassion towards them, and it hurts. The word straight means restricted or obstructed or difficult. Here in this verse, straight gate. On the contrast, the word wide is easy with no obstructions. There's no problems. Easy sailing. The scribes and the Pharisees knew it also was, as Jesus talked about, going to be hard. And you know what? As we talked about in our last lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, and we talked about all of those things that they had twisted and they had made to fit their own liking, they did that because they wanted to find loopholes and try to justify themselves and the things that they wanted to do. Remember anger. Thou shalt not kill versus anger without a cause. It says you're in danger of judgment if you do this. Matthew chapter 5, that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. The golden rule application, you know what, I don't like it. I don't like it when people are angry with me. I don't like it when they pass judgment on me. I don't like it. I don't like it when they hold a grudge against me. So I don't need to hold a grudge on them. What about lust and divorce? Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. The Pharisees and the scribes says, oh, it's wrong to commit adultery. But Jesus says, looking at a woman with lustful intent is breaking the law. What's the golden rule application here? I don't want anyone looking at my wife and lusting after her, so why would I do that to somebody else's wife? Oaths. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37 says, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees taught. But what did Jesus say? He says, don't swear at all. Don't swear by anything. Don't take oaths. Don't say things that you can't fulfill. Don't promise things that you can't carry out. Just don't do it at all. What's the golden rule application? I don't like it when people promise things that, to me, that they cannot provide. I don't like it. So I don't need to make these promises that I can't provide for other people. I shouldn't be lying to people because I don't like being lied to. What about retaliation? Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 42. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees always taught. But what did Jesus teach? He says, turn you the other cheek. If someone wrongs you, don't seek retaliation. What's the golden rule application here? Would I like it if someone retaliated against me when I messed up? No. So I don't need to retaliate either for them and their sake. What about Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48? Love your enemies. The scribes and the Pharisees taught, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. What did Jesus teach? Love and do good to all men, even your enemies. The golden rule application here says, show love and care for others, even your enemies. What if someone thinks I'm their enemy? Would I like it if they showed hatred towards me? No. Verse number 48 of Matthew chapter 5, he talks about being whole and being complete as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Be ye perfect. Some of the young adults that were in the study on Monday may be thinking back to the study that we had on integrity, which we said that comes the word integrity comes from the term integer, which means whole or not divided. Remember that? Living the life this way is a life of integrity that we should have. Not divided, not a decimal, not a fraction, but a whole complete thing. Just as our Heavenly Father is whole and perfect, we need to be whole and perfect. Living the life of a child of God is not easy. It's hard. It's straight. It's obstructed. And you're going to get your heart hurt. Because doing the life of a Christian it's rough business sometimes. It's hard. It's very hard sometimes to fight back the selfish desires to satisfy our own flesh and our own pride and our own ambitions. And follow after the teachings of our Lord. It's very difficult. And the fact is, because it's so very difficult, we know that we're not going to be able to. We know that we're not going to be able to fulfill it. We're going to mess up. And we're going to do things that are not according to the teaching that Jesus has taught us. And we will treat others harshly, and we will treat others without love and compassion at times. We let our emotions get the best of us, when we let our selfish ambitions, our pride get the best of us. I've been there. I'm sure we all have. And that leads us back to Matthew chapter 7, doesn't it? Verses 1 through 5. Going back to where we started this morning in verse number 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Because it's so hard, and because of these verses here that require us to take a look at ourselves and our own lives and see the guilt and the things that we've done, would it be nice for somebody to come and judge me? Would I want that for myself? No. What would I want? I would want someone to come to me and say, hey, look, I noticed you've been having a hard time. Look, let me help you. Let me show you some love and compassion and mercy and grace. That's what I would want. I don't want somebody to come to me and beat me down over the head and say, you better straighten up or else. And I definitely don't want somebody that I know that's been out doing awful and terrible things coming and telling me, you know what, you need to straighten up. It seems to me that most of the time when we judge someone, it's because there is a wrong that has been done to us. And the fact that they have done something to upset us. And when that happens, that is all that our minds seem to think about. And we just can't get past it. Our brains are not able to focus on anything else. I can't see past it. I can't see my own imperfections. In my mind, I'm so much better than they are. My own faults and my own failures make me no different than anyone else that may upset me. That's the fact. But I can't see it. It's no wonder that he talks about the eye and the speck in your brother's eye and the mote that is in, or the mote that is in his eye, the speck that is in his eye, the beam that is in my eye. I can't see it. Because I'm so focused on what somebody else has done to me. The hurt that they've caused me. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What does he say there? Consider yourself. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Isn't that so true? The fact is, we're nothing. But we want to think we're something, don't we? Look at me, look what I've done. But the fact of the matter is, you know what? I don't want anybody to see the shameful, sinful things that I've done. Seeing this truth should humble us so much that we realize that we are weak and that we make mistakes in this life. It is that self-reflection and seeing our own lives as nothing, which allows us to look past the times when we are wrong, when someone has done something hurtful to us, And instead of judgment and condemnation that we offer towards them, we offer mercy, grace, and peace, forgiveness. And it's that realization that we are all in the same situation, right? We're all sinners. We're all in need of forgiveness. What's the golden rule application? The realization that I am also guilty and would want others to show me grace and compassion. That's what I would want. And that's what I need to do for them. That's what I need to do for them. Continue on, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? God blesses us with all of the things that we need in this life. He knows the things that we need. And will not the giver of those good things look to hurt us? No. He doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to give us those good things which will help us. Sometimes we don't think they're good at the time. But he wants to give us those things that will help us, that will be useful to us. Not things that will harm us. And he says here in these verses, he says, you know, even the evil people, even you being evil, even you being sinful, your children, you know what? You don't want to hurt them. You want to help them. And all of us, I see in this verse, I see all of us being children of God, being his creation. Shouldn't we be that way towards one another? If someone comes to you and asks for your help, I just can't do that. I tell you what, instead of helping you with a meal, I tell you what, I'll how about I give you a ride down somewhere and maybe there's someone else that can give you some money for something. When someone asks us and is in need, we should be a blessing to them. We should count our blessings, realizing that, you know what? We have far more abundance than what we need. Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Remember, he says, we talked about Jesus teaching us that we should be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Our Father in heaven gives us perfect gifts, perfect good gifts from above in abundance. And he does this so that we can be the kind of first fruits of his creature and do good works to others. We need to know how much we've been blessed. We need to realize that. And that we are supposed to be blessings to other people. Could you be the answer to somebody's prayer? God could use you for that. We need to let him. Let's look at the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. After we look at ourselves, we look at our own lives, and we realize the blessings that are in our lives, it's no wonder that Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount with these verses. Verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile ye and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Look at all of these verses. They begin with, happy are they. Happy are they. And if you look and you see and you take stock of all of the blessings that God has blessed you with, you will find that whatever situation you find yourself in, you are blessed beyond measure. No matter how sorry you feel for yourself, you're blessed. Knowing how fortunate we are should cause us to want to turn from living a selfish and prideful life to a life that wants to be a blessing to those that are around us and do good to all men. Happy are those who follow in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Do you ever think of your job, your way that you make a living, the things that you do to provide for your family as a blessing? I do. I thank God every day for the living that God has given me. Do I thank him so that I have so I can give to somebody that's in need? Am I thankful for my job so that I can have to give to somebody else when they are in need? Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Are you looking for those opportunities? That brings us back to where we started this morning. With verse number 12, doesn't it? The golden rule. Let's take a look at this. I made this little picture up here. And this is what we've talked about this morning. You can see verse 12 at the top. What I would have others do for me, I do for others. Which leads us to the way is straight. We know it's going to be hard. We know it's going to be restricted. We know that there's going to be obstacles in the way. And we're going to make mistakes, which leads us to, you know what, just not judge anybody like that. When they make mistakes and when they're down, we don't beat them over the head about it. We offer them grace and forgiveness, mercy. We ask God for the things that we need as we continue around the circle. We ask, and he gives. We seek and we find those things. We knock and doors are open for us. But when someone asks us for something, are we giving people? Are we willing to give those things we've been blessed with? When someone's seeking, do we help them find? Are we the light on the hill, the city that is on a hill that is a light to those that are around us, sharing the hope that lies within us through Jesus Christ? Are we looking for those opportunities? Are we knocking? So the doors could be opened. And then we're back to square one. What I want people to do for me, I do for them. And it goes round and round and round and round and round, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20, you'll see that there that's in the middle. It says, this is what the life of a Christian looks like. This is what the child of God looks like. And verse 16 says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Are we in danger of being cut off, hewn, tossed into the fire because we only care about ourselves and our own selfish ambitions? We're too worried about ourselves to look for the opportunities to help others. Are we blinded to our own mistakes to where we can't offer forgiveness and grace and mercy because we've been afforded the same through Jesus Christ? I'm going to stop right here. I've got 3 pages left. And we're quite a ways on time. Pray that the things that we've talked about this morning have been a blessing to you and a help to you. And maybe kind of opened your eyes to the way that the things that Jesus has taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, they all kind of link together in this circle. The way that we should live as Christians. The way that we should treat one another. The way that we should bear each other's burdens, helping one another. And doing this so fulfills the law of Christ. If there's a need that you have this morning, if there's something that we can do for you, I am knocking so that that door might be open to you. We want to pray for you. We want to help you. We want to care for you. We want to show you love and compassion just like Jesus has shown us. And I'd like for you to come forward this morning and sit on the front row if we can help you with that. If you're not a child of God and you want to become a child of God and become a part of this circle, this way of life where we help one another, we're there for each other, we bear one another's burdens, when we're there to help each other and pick each other up when we're down. We're ready to help you with that also. If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he came to die on the cross and shed his blood so that your sins might be forgiven, that you're willing to turn from your old ways and live in the newness of life, being baptized, putting to death that old self, that selfish and prideful man, and dying to that. Being buried with him in baptism and rising to walk in newness of life. We pray that you would be able to to make that decision this morning. And also come and have a sit on the front row, and we'd be glad to assist you in that.